prophecy of the end times, that's something that we all wonder about, we look at, and sometimes people even do some guessing. And it's important that you always observe. That's what a watchman is for, is to watch. We have had a very strange phenomena in this past, since Passover of last year, that we have had a segment of 6 months period set aside and separated. They completed the 16th of this month at Jerusalem. And that should tell you something. And it was a beautiful eclipse there at Jerusalem. It just was, you couldn't ask for a better one. The old moon red and finishing. In other words, we had the Passover of last year, 6 months later, at the Fall Fellowship, which is the moon that sets the time for the Feast of Tabernacles, for those that use the moon calendar, exactly 6 months. 6 months to the day from that day to Purim of this year, and then 6 months exactly from that day to Jerusalem. That gives you three segments of six, or 666. All right? Now, you're supposed to watch, as Jesus would say. You can tell by looking at the weather, you know, the sky, maybe if it's going to rain. But are you aware of the other things that he's bringing forth? Now, basically, that's what we're going to be discussing today, is phenomena. So, I don't have to tell you all what 6 + 6 + 6 is, do I? For those of you that do not have your computers, it's 18. All right? Isn't that wonderful? You came all this way to find that out. Isn't that wonderful? But 18 is being pointed out in more directions than one and more signs than one. And it means bondage. But not for us. But for those that choose to remain in bondage. But I believe that is the meaning of the sign, that it is time for us truly to come out of bondage. And that's why I chose my topic today. We should have been already. I hope you have been. I have been. Because it doesn't matter about the world. We know the King. And the King takes care of his own always. Now, that doesn't mean there's not going to be trouble. And that doesn't mean that some calamity might take place. That's nature. That's life. But as far as you're believing and observing God's Word, that is something you must always remain focused upon. Signs are not worth a dime unless you can affix them to God's Word. I want to say that again because some people get carried away. They lose their focus, lose their way. Signs are not worth a dime unless you can hook it into Scripture. It must tie to Scripture, because that's the way God speaks to us concerning seasons and time. And don't ever let anyone pull you away from that. That's very important. If there's any one thing I have noted among people that like to study, is it's real easy for them to lose their focus by going out on a goose chase, a wild goose chase. All right? Don't ever let anyone do that to you. Stay focused on the Word, because that's exactly how it's going to come to pass. And so we've got to fix 18 to that, or we're nowhere. What's 18? Well, biblically, in numerics, it means bondage. So if you would, just begin this communion. It was hard to tie this into communion, incidentally. Prophecy and communion, because they kind of are separate. But I did it. We're going to do it. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 for me. Luke, right there in the New Testament. And we're going to take chapter 12. Let's pick it up, if we may, with verse 49, the teachings of Christ. Luke 12. What I want you to focus on here is, what season is he talking about? What's his subject? And it's important that you be aware of that. Verse 49 reads, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled. Well, what fire is that? God is a consuming fire. And within that, you find the whole purpose of God is division. The division began not by our Father, but by Satan in the first earth age. And this earth age is about division. That's separating the wheat from the chaff. Separating the good from the bad, but yet even giving the bad a privilege and an opportunity of changing their lot. Because, why? They're God's children. And He loves them. Each child must prove themselves, and each child has the right to make his or her mind up whether they're going to follow the ways of the world or whether they're going to follow God. And quite frankly, when it's all said and done, the purpose of this earth age is to take those to His bosom that choose Him, and we're going to get rid of the rest. Why? We don't need them. Satan has caused too much trouble. And that's what Father is about, is separating those of free will. Now, please leave election out of this for a moment. Those of free will that choose Him from those that absolutely would not, and those that would simply cause trouble in the eternity over and over and over. It's like God said in Proverbs, as we were teaching it here this past month, you take a loser and bail him out and get ready, you're going to do it a whole lifetime. You're going to bail him out over and over and over. Now, I said a loser. Until he wants to help himself, you're not going to change him. You can pray for him if you want to. Pray night and day for him if you want to. But that end, God gave that person free will, and until they're ready to help themselves, hey. Sometimes, as Paul did one, you have to throw them back to Satan and let them learn the hard way. But he came to bring a fire. And what does that fire do? Well, have you ever seen silver smelted? Well, I don't imagine many of us have. I happen to be one that has a little gold, you know, but in silver. But it takes a lot of heat to bring the good out sometimes, to get the old slag kind of pushed off to the side. That's the fire. And he said, how well if I will find that kindled, meaning that you, his election, and those with free will that choose him are already turning the fire up. All right? Like I was fixing my breakfast this morning, scrambling eggs. I'm not an expert. And I like to get fancy every once in a while, but I had the fan going. You know? And when scrambled eggs hit a fan, I've got a mess. Got a mess to clean up when this is all over. That's just life, isn't it? Now, where was I? Okay. But each person makes their own way in that sense, you know. So turn that fire up. Scramble those eggs if you have to, you know. But it'll all come out. It's not going to hurt anybody. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You can always risk one because you got so many of them. But hey, if they won't receive it, you're wasting your time and you're doing more harm to them than you're doing good. Because when somebody said no once and they mean it, well, you know, you're just driving them further and further away each time you get in there and nudge. That's called nitpicking and meddling, you know. That doesn't work. You don't care. You may care, but save the pearls. Find, there's so much new fertile soil in the world today to plant seeds in. Why mess with somebody that chooses not to? That's what the fire is about. That's what he means. I come to bring fire. Well, we've heard he said peace. Well, it is peace at the same time to get rid of the slough-offs, okay? And again, I want you to realize, focus, that's the base, prime reason for this earth age, is to separate. Because we've got an eternity to go through, and I don't know about you, but I haven't enjoyed having the slag mixed in among us and having to put up with them as much as I would like to have, okay? It would be better after they've had the last chance just to get rid of them. Blot them out. You won't remember them. That's it. That's the name of the game. Don't lose focus of that. That in itself is love. Why? God loves you, and He wants you to have that eternity. Being totally fair to every child to make their choice, but an eternity of peace, real peace. Okay, verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened? That word in the Greek is pained. I'm really pained till it be accomplished. He was anxious. Christ was anxious. Why? To pay the price that those that would fall short could call upon and have their debts paid in full as far as sin is concerned. He was paying to do that. That opened the way. That made Him the way. Man, there is love written all over that. That He was anxious to pay that price on the cross so that you and you and you could, because when you mess up, say, Father, I'm sorry. I want to do better. Help me. Strengthen me. Show me the way. Guide me. And we have this to go by. All right? 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Now understand earth. That means bring peace to this situation. I tell you nay, but rather division. And there again, God's prime purpose is to divide the wheat from the chaff. To ultimately get rid of, and I know this may fall kind of sound a little hard, to get rid of the evil, but that's their choice. And if they choose that, then so be it. But that's the purpose of God's reign in this particular earth age. Division, I don't imagine too many of you are familiar with that, but listen to what he tells you here, advises you, that could happen to you. 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, two against two and two against three. We're speaking about in a religious vein. Have any of you ever had, a member of five relatives and some of them have a little different input than yours? There's a division, right? And there you go. And always your relatives are so very wonderful. When they won't receive the seed, love them still yet, okay? Be a brother or an uncle or an aunt and don't preach at them if they have already refused the seed. But enjoy them. By setting the example, you're doing more good than in any other way. But you're going to have division. That's what it's about, is separating, again, those that choose to go the way of the world and those that choose to go to the kingdom. That's the way it goes. 53, the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He covers all bases. Even though they're relatives, you're going to have that division. Again, love them, pray for them, but don't try to push your beliefs off on them. Rather, set the example of God's blessings in your life, and pretty soon they take the hint, because I promise you, God's blessings will be in your life. I can do that because He has. And it doesn't take people long in a family to see who's blessed and who isn't. And especially in this particular generation where you get somebody, let's say, that's hooked on some drug or something. That's not all that uncommon. You don't know how many letters we receive of people saying, thank God you've changed my life. I'm no longer hooked. Not on drugs. But it wasn't the chapel that did it. It was the Word of God. It's strong. It's powerful. And He gives touches. If they have the unction to help themselves, He's going to give you all the help you need. But you must first want to help yourself. 54. Now, incidentally, think with me for a moment. What time is He talking about there specifically, though? When He said it would really come to a head on that, that a mother would even deliver a daughter up to death. I want you to think about the season He's talking about. That's very important. He's talking about you. He's talking about this generation, the generation of the fig tree. 54. And He said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. It's going to rain tonight, and sure enough it does. I mean, here you have all these things you look at, and it's just as natural as it can be for you to become a weather forecaster. You know, you can tell. Well, you see, what he's telling you is, I use those same things for signs too. You know, that if you look close enough, occasionally you might pick 18 out of an 18-month period. Okay, and realize, I'm rattling your chain. I want your attention. I'm trying to tell you something. And 55. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Naturally, the south would be off the desert in this case, and you get wind off the desert, and yep, it's going to be hot. Okay? Well, his signs are just as simple, okay, if you observe. 55. You hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time or any time as far as that's concerned? They're, you know, they've got to live from day to day because they don't have God's blessings and they don't have the time that some do that God has blessed. And so they're behind the eight ball and they're going to stay that way until they decide they want to help themselves. Then you can make a difference. 57. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? I mean, can't you tell right from wrong? In other words, there is a division taking place. Which side are you going to be on, the right side or the wrong side? 58. When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, again, a point of time, and thou art in the way, give diligence and that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge deliver thee to the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till all thou hast paid the very last mite. In other words, you have to be a little wise. That'd be okay, Dennis. Dennis, it's not picking up on here. It'll be okay. You all are, I have your attention where that sound is not bothering you, right? Pay attention. Okay. Don't start. Okay. All right. So, what he's saying here is, don't go out here chasing the snake's tail, feeling you have to prove how much you know to everybody, regardless of who they are or what they are, especially as we come into this generation that has 50 years, that's to say a jubilee on it. Or that snake, if you touch his tail, is going to turn around with his old head and he's going to bite you. Okay? That's the analogy. Be careful. You are for one specific time, and that is to be delivered up before the spurious Messiah, and then the Holy Spirit will say it. We don't. We're not that sharp yet, okay? And may never be, you know. But anyway, you do what you're told to do, and that's what this word says to do. I mean, there are so many words, like another place in Matthew, it says, if you pass him in the byway, agree. That means with, hey, cool, cat. You know, anything to get on, you know, don't waste your time with them is what he's saying. There's a division. That's what it's all about. It's that simple. Separating the wheat from the chaff. Chapter 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, what did that say? Forget about the blood. Forget about Pilate. What did it say? At that season. So stay with me in the time frame. We're still talking about the same time that he's talking about. And that is, say, the generation that would be delivered up. So you got it nailed real good. Okay? And there is no biblical history. Josephus in the Antiquities 18 verse 4 something. But I doubt. I think it was still a different time. It was a calamity. I mean, it was an act where some people were in the wrong place at the right time. It wasn't something they did. They just got butchered. Okay? Well, what does that have to do with God's purpose and plan? Verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? So many people always have the tendency to place national or calamity in their lives with sin. I'm talking about natural things. Be smarter than that, okay? We live in a world where things are dangerous, and we play with dangerous toys sometimes. Calamities happen, but it has nothing whatsoever to do with sin. That's what Jesus is telling you. Just at one doesn't reflect on the other. So there's, what does that tell you? Especially at this time, there's going to be calamity. There's going to be things happen. It may be very tearful. It may be very sad. But stuff happens, okay? It just does. But if you're right with Him, it's not going to bother you anyway. Because you know He's in control. It happened. You can cut it. You can handle it. Okay? What should you do, though? Three, I tell you, nay. No, their sin wasn't any different, more or less, than anyone else's. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, what does repentance bring you to? It puts you into the wheat rather than the chaff. And that's what this earth age is about. Division. Separation. Lining the ducks up in a row. All right? Getting your acts together. And to be repentant, he said, I'm paying to pay that price on the cross. And you see, when you repent, it's paid. So you don't even have to talk about sin. That is to say, in your life, once you've repented, he doesn't want to hear about it again. Don't put yourself on some guilt trip and let that slow you down in your Christian work, saying, well, I'm just not good enough. None of us are. And none of you should ever claim to be good enough to really serve the kingdom. But he was, and that's what's important. And you're his servant. He paid the price. You're forgiven. Then you're worthy. That's what repentance does for you. But natural calamity doesn't have anything to do with it. Verse 4. Are those 18, there's that number, isn't it? Bondage. Those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? What was this Tower of Siloam? The only way you can do is to take a scholarly view of it and know that as it is written in Nehemiah, that above the Pool of Siloam, there was a tower that stood out. It was away from the wall, very near the Tower of Ophel. The best gold there is. This evidently fell and killed 18 people. Now, there's more to this. 18 being bondage, I want you to really think. Because within the past 18 months, there's been some very difficult things have happened in relationship to that tunnel that begins the network there at the Pool of Siloam or at where the Tower of Siloam was, okay? Going back in through the waterworks and so forth, there was almost war over it. Our dear president even said to Menachem Begin, who gave you permission to open that tunnel? You want to know what Netanyahu told him? Well, we won't have to go into that, okay? He let him know in a very nice way it was none of his business, okay? And maybe Bill consented to that. I don't know. Here in Arkansas, you know, he consented to anything that would make a dog hunt with him, you know. I love my presidential office, okay? Don't ever say I don't. I said I love the presidential office, okay? It's a wonderful place, thing. But here in Arkansas, we know Bill real well. Have for many, many years. Okay. Now, that's a digression, I assure you. But there you have bondage. Those 18 that happened to be standing there, and look how it, here it comes, wham, down comes the tower and killed every last one of them. What kind of sin had they been doing? God must have really wanted them. He caught up with them. Well, and remember, it happened to Jerusalem. Five, I tell you, nay, no way. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's the wheat and the chaff. What happens to the chaff? The fire is going to catch it. It's going to burn. It's not going to be with us any longer. The choice is yours. The choice is to the people of the world. I don't know. Do they listen? Or, well, I've got this life all figured out and I can get by myself. Thank you all the same. I know what's I know where my paycheck comes from, and I know how to work hard, and I'm just a good old boy, and I don't care about all that stuff. I just want to get by. Well, you better pray for that one pretty hard, because hell is going to be full of good old boys, okay, that get by if they don't repent. That's what's important. I mean, it's going to be jam-packed with them. Calamity has nothing to do with sin. It happens. Now, of course, we have many built-in mechanisms that if you go up to that tower and that old thing's got cracks in it that wide and it's kind of trembling like this, what does common sense tell you? Don't go under the tower. Or your car has this little speedometer thing on it. This guy said, I don't know why God let me have that wreck. Well, he was doing 120, you know. God didn't have anything to do with it. Neither did Satan. His foot did, all right, because he was thinking through his foot instead of his head. So calamity has nothing to do with sin. People bring their own troubles upon themselves, and rather than to stand up and play the man and say, boy, did I mess up, they got to find an out. And you can't help someone as long as they're in that mode. Just can't hardly help them other than set the example. So that is bondage. Let's go ahead. Verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. You all remember when Christ wilted that fig tree. And you know the parable of the fig tree. I hope every one of you in here do. If you don't, shame on you. The good figs and the bad figs of Jeremiah 24. Because Christ didn't say, maybe you should learn that parable. He said, learn it. And he meant it. So I hope that when this word fig, considering we're talking about the end generation, that kind of two and two makes four instead of five for you, okay? There wasn't any fruit on it. Well, what did he say when he wilted that fig tree? Never again will you, not the good fig, but the bad. Verse 7. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years. Whoa, 3 years. Well, that's supposed to be almost half of the last week, isn't it? Interesting. What? I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? In other words, it's no good. It's chaff. Burn it. Now, you see that example, and many of us would say, well, this has to do with John and Christ. You know, Christ was the one that owned the land. John was the farmer. Well, that was good for the first advent, but this is about the second. Okay? Verse 8, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. Let's give them an opportunity to practice free will, all those that come through this world up to that generation. And then give them that privilege, and we'll set the example to show them how to live and produce fruit. And give them that opportunity. What did he say? 9. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And you remember the harvesting of the tares in Mark 13, Matthew 13. You remember that. It's a time of division, of separating the wheat from the chaff. That's what this life is about. Verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. 11, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Wow, there's that 18 again. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Now in the Greek, this means that a demonic spirit had her bowed. Now Christians can't operate under that condition. And that woman represents God's church, so to speak, or Israel, actually, or however you want to say it. And with that evil spirit, she couldn't function, and she had had it 18 years. Now, that makes bondage just jump right out in your face. She had been in bondage to that evil spirit for 18 years, being in numerics bondage. Oh, what in the world do you do in a case like that? Well, I hope you know. And do such things exist today? You bet they do. And again, as you've heard me say many times, there's not one behind every bush. But believe you me, they are present. And discernment helps one with that. What it means also is Satan can tie you up if you let him. I mean, he can tie you up. You fall off in a bunch of these little things of the world that you've been told to stay out of. Well, I would never do any sin. Well, how about usury? How about getting yourself so tied up in usury that you can't even breathe from one minute to the next, and you were told not to? You know? Who's got you bound there? Now, I know that there's many that can't help it. You got that way, but you can do something about it. Just one day at a time, and I don't care if you only get ahead one penny. Get it done. Get it taken care of. All right? But there are many things in this world, I only use that as an example, that you can get yourself bound up in. It can even be food. That is to say, not obeying the health laws until you get down to where you can't even think straight. You wake up every morning and you got cobwebs up here that you just can't quite shake because your nutrition has gone down to the point that you can't get your motor going. It's important. It's not a sin unto death, certainly. But you got to stay fit if you're going to serve in the kingdom. He wants the best. Well, I shouldn't say that. He wants all of us. And sometimes He'll take the poorest and the most unlikely, yours truly as an example, and use them to plant seeds. He does you. And I'm not going to say that about you. But I'm glad God picks the elect, because there's some I might pass over. I don't know. You know, that's not our business. That's the Father's business. And whosoever He chooses, hey, I can ride with them. We'll do fine. You know, that's the attitude you've got to have. Okay? So, Satan will bind you if you allow him. Don't put up with it. And there are so many devices in this generation that you can fall into like that. I don't want anybody... There's nothing wrong with borrowing to have a home. You should have a home. Because in that case, there's no way many people could cough up enough to buy a home. And yeah, you have to pay usury. That's fine. Because at the end of the year, you've got a lot more than you would have if you had rent receipts in your hand. Do you know what rent receipts are worth at the end of the year? They'll go in the fire. They're worthless. Okay? You didn't gain anything. Anyway, different subject for a different time. Bondage is all around us. Shuck yourself free from it. What will set me free? How many of you in here can say what sets you free? The truth will set you free. What truth? This truth. God's Word will set you free if you'll listen to it. If you focus on it. Keep your mind on it. Like I'm trying to have you focus on 18. This poor woman was in that bondage 18 years. What did he do about it? Isn't that your example? 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. No ifs, ands, or buts. You're loose. Why? He used her as an example. Has he ever used you for an example? You probably don't know. I wouldn't know. But he uses people as examples to other people, maybe to save a soul, if you're in his hand and he has his hand on you. 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Why? She was free. She was free of bondage. At 14. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. I mean, we got the head church boy here, and we got a man that a miracle was performed right on his property, and it kind of took away from his being, if you know what I mean. That's why he was mad. Or if he could have only have done that, you know. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Think about 6 dispensations if you want to take this to a deeper level on your own. I'm not taking it there. In them, therefore, came and in them, 6 days, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Well, let me tell you something. When you use common sense, did man heal there on the Sabbath day? Uh-uh. Does man ever heal on the Sabbath day? Not likely. Who does? God. Now, this is kind of like some peckerwood telling God, you can't do that. That's not healthy either, okay? Peckerwood is an old Arkansas term here that means a red-headed woodpecker that doesn't know what he's pecking on half the time, okay? So it makes him a little dingy. 15. Isn't that wonderful how we throw these bits of wisdom in here, you know? 15. The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite." I'm sure this really made his day. "You hypocrite." And my own church, you would say that to me. "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox and his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering?" Well, yeah, but I got money invested in that dude. That's my best donkey. You know, got to take care of him. 16. "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan," you underline it, "whom Satan hath bound," she wasn't sick. Not that way. "Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, and he throws that right in your face. Can you see the signs? Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day." Who is your Sabbath today? Christ is. What does Sabbath mean? It means rest. And you're not going to find any rest except in Christ. And He's every day. And if you're a child of light, you're never in the night anyway. It's all one day. And it's fine to heal on whatever day where you find Satan working to shake his bush. All right, to shake it good. And to jar loose whatever he's trying to bind if you can. Because you have power over him and you don't have to put up with that stuff. Luke, this same book, back in the 10th chapter in the 18th verse, he gave you power over all of your enemies. Why do you put up with stuff from them? You don't have to. You're wise enough to make a change. Think about it. Christ loosed her from bondage. Now, it would seem to me that inasmuch as we have had these 18 months running, and we look at this world today and we see the things that have happened, I think he's telling you something. I think he's telling you that there is no need in you being in bondage. That in your Sabbath, which is to say Christ, that you can be loosed. He gave you the power. Use it. Use it. You sure at this time do not want to be held in that bondage. Be free. It isn't the government that sets you free, though one can be helpful. But you can be free under any government spiritually by being freed by He who freed this woman from bondage. 18. Verse 17. "And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him." Over and over and over he set the example. 18. "Then said he unto, what is the kingdom of God like?" Think about it. Ask yourself. "And whereunto shall I resemble it?" What am I going to try to put it in English here, or Greek or Hebrew, whatever we might be reading? 19. "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. It grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches thereof." You can create or start a work. One little seed will start a work. But if you're not focused, when it gets real big, you can look up in the top branch and say, "Well, where'd that dirty bird come from? How'd he get up there in that? You know, why didn't I recognize that?" Okay. So what he's saying is the kingdom of heaven is like that. People are drawn to it, and sometimes they don't belong. Division. Culling wheat from the chaff. Now, that isn't up to you to do. That's God's business there. He does the judging. We don't. And what do you do if you find a dirty bird up there? You grab that sucker down and bathe him. All right? Whatever. You know, whatever works for you, do it. If it's possible, you know, at least take note. Don't let somebody wreck your life. "Well, he's a good old boy, though, and I just wanted to try to help him." Yeah, and he kicked the props right out from under you, and you busted yours. Okay? You've got to stay in control. You've got to stay focused. I mean, please understand, I'm not saying be anti-helpful to people. We're supposed to be helpful. But be wise enough to understand when Satan's trying to bring bondage into your life or your ministry or your seed planting or whatever. Okay? My word, that's what you're supposed to be, is sharp and can discern good from bad. Most people can tell that. And don't start trying to bring calamities into it. Repent. See if that old boy repents. If he doesn't, hey, you got trouble. Okay, a word to the wise is sufficient. 20. And again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? 21. It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, leaven is usually always used in a negative sense. And think back for a moment in your mind. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that was bad because it was doctrines and traditions of men. And leaven usually is very bad. But at the same time, if we apply that to the bread of life, and this will make some uncomfortable, it's going to go through the whole loaf, okay? So whatever comes in that establishment or study or your thought process that you allow to slip in that hasn't been tried and tested by the Word, not by men, not by what some man must say. Never, when somebody starts gossiping around you, ask for facts and document it. Say, hey, I don't listen to stuff that's just put out. I want to get to the facts because there's 2 sides to every story. Okay. You can never discern if you don't have all of the facts. You're puffing in the wind. And it seems like some people are so anxious to jump to that. Did you hear what they said about Rosemary? You know, right away, Rosemary must have done something really bad. I'm trying to think of the lady's name in the Apocrypha. Roxanne? No. Suzanne. That's close, you know. You know, rocks get in the way. But anyway, Suzanne. You know. Don't fall into that trap. The wise never jump to judgment. You've got to see both sides, and you've got to be patient. Okay. I don't know how we got off in that quite, but that's how stuff works into your tree, and that's how it'll get into your dough if you let it. All right? In more doughs than one. Remember the bread of life. He is the living Word. Stick to this book. Focus on it. You'll be fine. Because there's a division coming. And my, I hope you're in the right group. 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying through Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, now listen carefully. 24. Strive. Now stop right there. This word strive in the Greek, agonizomai, it means to contend with an adversary. It means fight with the adversary. So you know Satan was just cast out, right? You got it? Okay. To contend with the adversary, to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and will not be able. Now stop and think a moment. How many people claim to be Christians in the world today? Or followers of God? Leave it open. Open-ended. How many of them are going to be deceived very soon by this Satan by going into his bondage thinking he is Christ when he's the fake? Remember, we're still in that time frame of this fig tree generation. Don't fall away from that. Stay focused. There are going to be many that think they're dandy fine. And unfortunately, they wake up. And they better be thankful to the Father that there's the millennium. And again, a word to the wise is sufficient. Now, many people will take this. There's just going to be a few people in heaven. That's what Jesus said. No, it isn't. That isn't what he said. Okay? But be that as it may. 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. I don't really know you. See, it's that simple. That's why you need to stay focused. That you know who the true Christ is. That you don't let Satan put you in bondage with a bunch of false teachings. Because it'll get in your tree. Well, what kind of false teachings would they have? How could they possibly work something false in such a nice thing as a church? Well, fly away, oh glory, love, fly away. I've never had a voice lesson, believe me. Shows, doesn't it? Or, We go into the Sunday school class, look at that big apple that snake is handing to that nude woman. It's happened. There it is on the church wall, you know. Hey, it is sad, really. Very sad. False teachings abound, and hey, when he shuts that door, there is a day that it's going to be too late to take part in the first resurrection. And again, they better be thankful for the second resurrection. Will they get their act in there? I don't know. That's up to them. But he says, I don't know you. 26. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. We heard it. They may have heard it, but they listened to too much other stuff. Okay? They didn't focus. And beloved, I know of the last 5 years you've heard me ram that word focus and just over and over and over. But I'm telling you, you're in a generation that you must focus, because there's going to be things happen that will deceive even the elect if it were possible. I don't want to see that happen to you. Focus. We heard the real truth taught in our streets. 7:27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know ye not whence ye are. That means you can't come in. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Well, how in the world could Jesus call a church member a worker of iniquity? I'll fly away, O glory. You got to think, okay? False teaching, by however you dress it up and put nice frills on it, is false. Okay, that's all. It hurts people. It really hurts people. Well, it doesn't seem like it would be that important to me. Well, it really doesn't matter how important it might be to you. It's according to how important it is to our Father. Okay, He doesn't like it. 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. You know what that's saying in a real nice way? If you don't have the key to David to get in that door, sorry, sucker. You're not good enough. So you better know the key of David. And you better have absorbed it. And you better have watched and focused on it. 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. 30 to complete. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Do you know what he's talking about there? Think of the time. God's elect overcame. I chose you before the foundations of the world. They were first there, but they're in the last generation, the fig tree generation, here. And there you are. There you are. Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. It's your life. And do not place your mind on the calamities as much as you do the bondage. Because if you don't recognize the bondage, it will have you hogtied before you wake up and realize it. And you might have difficulty getting away from it. So think. Well, it's rough in this. There's nothing rough. This is the softest generation I've run across in my life. And I guess it's the only time I've lived, so it better be. But be that as it may. But I can remember back when it was really rough. And I'm not going to give you that old depression story. But if you had lived in it, you'd know what I mean. It was rough then. It is so easy now that there's no excuse, really. If you're smart, if you're wise, if you have focused, it is so easy to beat Satan at his own game that you can just laugh and have a good time while you're here in this flesh body. How I love to take names and kick dragon, you know? From the east, the west, the north, the south, our Father has blessed us so much in this last 18 years. All over the world, touching souls. Do we deserve it? I don't know. I guess so. I guess we do. Okay, now, we're going to go to Matthew 26. I have one thing to say. Stay focused. This is where we work this into communion service, right here. Okay? the time and what time? Well, let's read it. Let's start with verse 27 of Matthew 26. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament. It's the new covenant, the new promise, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. That's why you repent. That's why you rise above it. Listen to what he says, though, 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's why I can be so thankful that he has blessed this ministry. You know, words do not seem to express that this little old group has over 200,000 active members. Think about that. Around the world. And what can you say other than be thankful, you know, that our Father has chosen such a wonderful group to take that wine and to take that bread, the truth, and bless people with it. That is to say, He blesses them with it. 200,000 active members. Do you know how many inactive? I don't know. We go into over 100 million homes, and it is said we only hear from 1 out of 1,000 that listen. Think about that. That's a bunch of people that at least have an opportunity to hear. And am I saying this is the only ministry in the world? No, I'm just saying I'm thankful we're so blessed. Why? Because we keep man out of it, and we keep Christ in it. We keep the Word in it. And we say, focus on that Word. Don't focus on men. Don't focus on people. Love them, yes. If any person has hard feelings at you because you will not listen to them and turn aside from the Word to bring in some little pet theory, they're not your friend. Don't give up on God, and because that's what you do when you do that. You give up on God's Word, and hey, you're going to pay. You're going to suffer. I'm sorry. And boy, if you've got a lot, He expects a lot from you, and He will beat you with so many more stripes than He would somebody that doesn't have much. Okay, that's very scriptural. If we had started back in the about 6, 7, 8 verses before where I did, we would have read that today in chapter 12 of Luke. So if you got a lot, He expects a lot from you. By that I mean in your teaching people, studying with people, planting seeds, using good judgment, practicing common sense. So we come to that time, as we do about 4 times a year in taking of His Holy Communion, that bread is His body. And He received the stripes for it. I truly, from the bottom of my heart, do not believe that it will be long till He will return to drink it anew with us. And He expects good things from you until that day comes. We will continue in